his hand. Our wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall.
Book of Revelation, chapter 14. I'd like to read some scripture here in the book of Revelation. And bring you a message that the Lord's dealt with me about the last several days as I've been trying to pray and study and prepare for this service. No doubt there's that needs what I'm about to say, and I hope that you'll listen. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now I realize this morning that the scripture here doctrinally is speaking of people during the tribulation who receive the mark of the beast and the terrible fate that will await them. On the other hand, I want to remind you that the same scripture describes the condition of any sinner in hell. And that will be the situation of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who dies in their sins and goes to hell. Now, I want to preach to you just for a few minutes this morning on the subject, lost for eternity. Lost for eternity. Now, when you start thinking about this, and a man be in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, there is no way to describe it. Sometimes I start thinking about people burning in hell forever, and my mind just throws it out, just like this will not compute. It just rejects it. It said, I can't comprehend a person burning forever and ever and ever and ever. But this Bible says that people will do that. No way to describe hell. There's no way on earth, nothing to compare it to. No madman in his wildest flights of insanity ever conjured up something to match its horror. Nobody in delirium with a fever could picture a place so terrible. No nightmare running through a mind of a crazy man could produce the terror that would match the mildest part of hellfire. No murder scene with all its splash mud and oozing wounds could ever refuse or ever come close to matching the horrors of the land that the Bible calls hell. No gifted writer could ever describe the roaring caverns, the darkness, the unending flames, the screams of those that pass God by in this life and God passes them by in the next life. Nobody can describe that. No way we can imagine how horrible hell really is. According to the Word of God, people will be lost for eternity. You know that word lost is a terrible word. That word lost is a word, when a man's lost, he don't know where he is. When a man's lost, he don't know which direction to go in. The Bible says that a person is lost in this world without God, they'll also be lost in the next world without God. Now, I want to give you some facts this morning and talk to you about being lost for all eternity. The first fact is, according to the Word of God, anybody who says no to the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast into a lake of fire. Now, I know that is not a popular doctrine in this generation. You will listen loud and long for a long time to television preachers, many cases, before you'll ever hear a message on hellfire. But this Bible has never changed. And brother, if you preach and believe this Bible right here, this Bible says that people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast into a lake of fire. The Bible said God has a book, and the Bible said if you're saved, your name is in that book. And the Bible said if God looks in that book one of these days and he can't find your name, that their angels are going to take you, they're going to bind you hand and foot, they're going to ride back like this, they're going to throw you into a lake of fire. Now you might as well just get that through your head this morning. The only way that could not happen was to be the Bible not true, and the Bible is true. I'm telling you this morning, the Bible said they shall be cast into a lake of fire. The lake of fire is mentioned 5 times in the book of Revelation. It's mentioned in 19:20. It's mentioned in chapter 20 and verse 10. It's mentioned in chapter 20 and verse 14. It's mentioned in chapter 20 and verse 15. And it's mentioned in chapter 21 and verse number 8. You're taking a dangerous chance by saying, well, I'm going to leave God out of my life. I will take my chances. The Bible says that you will be cast into a lake of fire. I don't know if I'd take that chance. You know, we have a lot of old sayings. Get me up on this in just a hour, brother, if you would. We have a lot of old sayings, and a lot of times if you want somebody to leave you alone, there's an old-timey expression. And that old expression is, go jump in the lake. Now, there's a lot more to them old expressions than people want to give them credit for. The old expression, go jump in the lake, of course, represents a person going to hell. It's a popular phrase out in the world to tell a person to go to hell. That's a popular phrase. And a nicer way of saying that is go and jump in the lake. That's not a joke. That's nothing to be taken lightly. That's nothing to be joked about or jesting about. When God takes a man that's lived in this world and angels get a hold of him and throw him into hell. Brother, you think about that, what the Bible said. Let me tell you secondly this morning. The Bible says that people in hell will be tormented forever. forever. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, 23, 24, 25, and 26, the Bible said that man was in torment. I said the Bible said that man was in torment. You know, there's a lot of people said, well, I believe that if you hate, let's say you hate lettuce and tomatoes or something, when you go to hell, you'll be surrounded in a room full of lettuce and tomato. I think Night Gallery or the Twilight Zone or something come up with that definition of hell. And they said if you hate bluegrass music, when you go to hell, there'll just be a bluegrass music all around you. That's not true. According to that, you can make hell on this earth. And there's no hell on this earth. I'm telling you, brother, hell is not just what things that you don't like here on this earth when you get down there. Hell is torment. Hell is torment. The Bible said they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. The Bible says that the rich man there, he said, Luke chapter 16, he said, send Lazarus that he may put a drip of water on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Not by a room full of mother-in-laws or rocking chairs or pictures that I don't like. He said, flame. He said, flame. I'm telling you this morning that God's never changed his mind. God's never went back on nothing. He said in the book, God said, there's flames in hell and they'll burn you when you get there. If you're a teenager here this morning and you're not saved, I'd be getting saved this morning. This is no joke. This is nothing to laugh about. There's flames. There's torment. You know what the Bible said you'll be tormented with in hell? Turn this thing up just a hair, please. They'll be tormented with fire and brimstone. They'll be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now, brimstone is sulfur. And the definition of sulfur is a yellow, light yellow chemical in which that burns. When it's ignited, it burns with a blue flame. And you know how hot a blue flame is. And when sulfur is ignited, it burns and it stinks real bad. You can't hardly stand the smell of sulfur burning. That's what brimstone is. The Bible said in hell that people's going to be tormented with brimstone. Now you think of how it would smell down there. You ever smell sulfur? It smelled maybe something like rotten eggs or something like that. Excuse me. I hadn't preached in a week and my throat must be out of shape a little bit. By the way, this stifling odor is what they use in matches. It's what's used to make gunpowder and other explosive. And the Bible said the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and ever. Now, I want to tell you something. There's no doubt about the Bible teaching that people are going to suffer in hell forever. There's no doubt about it. I know that's called medieval. That's called heathen. That's called out of touch with our society. That's called ridiculous, even by some Bible teachers and so-called Bible theologians. But listen, the old book said they'll be tormented with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. You know what? I picked up a young man the other day. I had a real good visitation Thursday morning, and I could see the Lord just putting people in front of me for me to witness. I witnessed to young man and young lady over here first and got to have a good witness with them. I went out to visit another man. He wasn't home. On the way back, I picked up this boy. His car wouldn't start out there at the truck stop, and I'd stopped on the way out there and I pushed him across the parking lot trying to get his car to start, and it wouldn't start. On the way back, he's walking up the road. So I stopped and picked him up and I said, how you doing? What's your name? He told me his name was Kevin. He's from out of town. I shook his hand. I said, my name's Danny. I started talking to him. I said, Kevin, did you know that the Lord's coming soon? And he said, yeah, I know that. I said, did you know that if you're not saved, there's only one place you can go? There's only a heaven. There's only a hell. And he said, yeah, I know that. I believe that. I said, have you ever been saved? And he said, no, I have not been baptized yet.
And that young man thought that if he let somebody run a baptistry full of water and that they put him down in that water, that that would save his soul from hell. And I thought the devil's done a good job. The devil's done a good job. The devil's done a good job of making people think that if they get baptized in water, they'll stay out of hell. And a lot of them go to church every Sunday morning thinking, well, I got baptized. That's all there are to it. But I want to tell you something this morning, friend. Long time ago, God's son from heaven walked up a hill, let him put nails in his hands. Why did God pay the offer for us? Why did God, the son, go to Calvary? Why did God let him bleed and suffer and die? God paid the offer price to keep me and you out of hell, Father. By the way, let me tell you something. Listen, if brother, hell wasn't a terrible place, God wouldn't have paid such a price as that. If hell was just a grave, God would have said, choose this way or that way, and it's up to you. But God paid the price, and Jesus' blood was shed. Don't walk over that blood and die in your sins and go to hell. It would be a wasted life. It'd be a wasted life for you teenagers sitting over here to let that bus come by your house every Sunday morning and get on it and ride and sit here and listen to me preach or listen to the songs and say, no, I don't want the free gift, and be tormented with fire and brimstone forever. Let me tell you something. The Bible said that smoke ascendeth up forever and ever. What smoke? The smoke of their torment. Now, if the smoke of their torment, it keeps going up forever and ever and ever and ever, you know what that means? That means the torment don't end. Now, you're like me. I don't like to think about that. Everybody in here knows somebody that's going to happen to. We go to church every Sunday and think we've really done God a favor. Oh, we think we're so holy. We think we're so righteous. We got neighbors and many times brothers and sisters that are going to burn in hell forever. Brother, I think it's about time some of God's people, that's why we meet up here on Saturday night and pray. We was up here praying last night. And I was saying, oh God, there'll be people there in the morning that's not saved. Save them. That's why all these hundreds of thousands of dollars is spent on church buildings. That's the whole bottom line of the whole thing. That's why this man over here is going to Africa. If it were just a matter of teaching religious instruction, why bother with it? But the bottom line is people go to hell that don't have Jesus Christ in their heart. People go to hell right here from Marion that don't know the Lord. People go to hell and burn forever. I'm talking about your brothers and your sisters and your mamas and your daddies. I know what some of you will say, just Brother Danny, just don't upset me. I'm enjoying life and I don't want to hear that. Brother, something better wake us up or one day their blood's going to be dripping off our hands at the judgment seat of Christ. God help us as Christians. I believe a Christian's big sin nowadays is just turning the other way while the world drops off into hellfire. They're going to be tormented, people. They're going to be tormented day and night with fire and brimstone forever and ever. You can't imagine how bad it is. The third thing I want to say is they have no rest. Now listen. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57 that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Did you know the wicked don't even have no rest in this world? They live in a wicked world. They live a wicked life. It's always fussing and fighting and arguing and envying and ego and trying to get ahead and trying to have more than the other man's got, and a nicer car or a nicer home or an amount of money bank or retirement or a traveling expense, you know, stuff like that, and they never have no peace in this world, and then die and fall into hell and have no peace in that world. How horrible that is. They shall have no rest day or night. How terrible it would be to live a life in this world, fuss and fight and try to pay bills and put up with sickness and doctor bills and hospital payments and everything in this world, and then die and go to a place where you never get no rest day nor night forever. I know what somebody's problem is. Maybe somebody sitting here this morning, you're saying, well, preacher, I know you're right, but I'm just afraid I couldn't live it. I've tried it before and I didn't like it. I didn't make it. You know what the devil's done? The devil's tricking you to make you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I tell you what, people, it's hard to keep yourself awake in this day and time. There's a lull come over the land. The Spirit of God has just moved His hand off in most places in this country. It's very seldom where you even go to a church where they even believe the Bible anymore. Well, people saved, or have any spirit or atmosphere at all, or amens or shouts or praising God or ever tears ever being shed. This thing's getting worse and worse and worse. Number four, the Bible said they'll weep and wail and gnash their teeth. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42. Verse 49. Verse 50. The Lord Jesus Christ said they'd be cast into a furnace of fire. You know what wailing means? The Bible said they'd weep and wail. You know what it means to wail? The word wail means to cry loud and long because of grief or pain. Loud on. I have a picture of a rock group, Iron Maiden. And Iron Maiden has a mascot in their group called Eddie. He's a figment of their imagination, or he's a demon one. And they believe Eddie controls the devil like on a puppet strings. And they believe that when they get to hell, that they're going to rule. And they got these torches like this, see? And they're going to rule in hell. But see, the devil has tricked the singers in the group Iron Maiden. The devil's made them think, hey, you do all this and you get all these teenagers to worship me and follow me and all this, and I'll make you rulers in hell and you won't burn like the rest of them. Now what he's doing, he's using them to ruin people, and then he gets them there, he'll laugh at them and watch them burn. See, they're wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what gnash means? Gnash means to grind your teeth in anguish. You ever seen anybody grind their teeth? Just biting as hard as they can? You know what that book, let me tell you something. You know what that book, you know how the Bible presents a man in hell? Crying loud and long and gritting his teeth in anguish. The Bible said that people in hell are going, God! God! Ah! That's the way the Bible presents it. You say, Brother Danny, that's old-fashioned. It may be, but it's true. You say, people don't believe that's old-timey. The sun's old-timey. The moon's old-timey. Planting crops is old-timey. Rain falling out of the sky is old-timey. Because it's a long time old, brother, don't mean it ain't true. This book! You say, well, Brother Danny, listen, Brother Danny, could it really be that horrible? Why do you think God paid that awful price? Why do you think He let His Son die? Because hell is such an awful place. They'll weep and wail and gnash. They'll grind their teeth. And number five, the Bible said they shall be in the blackness of darkness forever. The book of Jude, only one chapter, verse number 13, said they have the reserved for them the blackness, of darkness forever. And you know what? I've heard, I don't understand that completely, because if you got all them flames, how could it be blackness of dark? I've heard it explained two or three ways. I've heard them say that they have now found that a black flame is the hottest flame of all. I've heard that explanation. And there may be something to that. I don't know. But the Bible says they'll be in the blackness of darkness. I've also know this, that men love darkness rather than light here in this world. So God says, all right, you're going to a place where it's pitch dark and you can't see. Maybe he blinds them in eternity and the fire's all in them. I don't know. But I know one thing. The Bible said it's black. The Bible says it's dark. Now can you imagine this? Imagine this. Imagine in this room right here, there's fire, flames jumping out right here and flaming like a building on fire. There's flames going everywhere. And I'm staggering through here and I can't die and I can't get out and I can't see. And all of a sudden, I'm going like this, and I'm doing like this, trying to keep myself from the flame, and I run into somebody, and they gnash on me with their teeth. Their teeth is grinding. I hit them like this. They hit me. It's just like a bunch of snakes and worms wrapped up in a big old pile. That's the picture that God gives of hell. It's black. It's dark. Some of you teenagers here this morning, your friends are going there. You need to get your act together and be your friends. Some of you mamas and daddies that work on a job, your family's going there. Your boss man's going there. Our neighbors are going there. Some of you here this morning may be going there. And the bad thing is, you don't have to go to hell. You can get paid. You can get saved and not be lost for eternity like it. Can you imagine staggering through a place where you can't see who's who and all you hear is screams and people burning and bumping into people and knocking people down and who's biting you and hustling you and you're spinning and you're going up and down and there ain't no bottom. People say, God's good old God, he's joking. You'll find out one of these days if he's joking. God ain't joking. Number 5, 6. They shall be separated from God forever. They're separated from God in this life by their sins. And they're separated in eternity. Not just a million years. In the prison house of despair. You think about it. 1 million years goes by. God! Please, God. We got the idea. We got the idea if we just keep begging long enough, God will do anything. And God is very merciful on this side. But once you die and go on that side, there's no mercy. I'd say there's probably 10 people in here this morning. You don't know where you're going when you die. You're going to actually walk out that door and get in an automobile and drive down the road taking a chance on going to this place. There's one or two things wrong with you. Number one, either you don't believe what I'm saying. Oh, it couldn't be that bad. That preacher don't know what he's talking about. Bible ain't true. Either it's that or else you've got some little sin that you think is so wonderful and so great you're just not willing to give it up to go to heaven. Don't make that hard mistake, friend, and be lost for eternity. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. Your head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Please, no talking, no noise, no looking around. This is a very, very serious moment. Lord dealt with my heart about this message. And I know there's somebody here who needs to get right. Christians, pray. Christians, pray. There's people in our midst this morning who need to get right with God. Pray the Spirit of God
will bring conviction. Show them their lost condition. Point them to Calvary. Let me tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ died for you. And the Lord Jesus wants to be your Savior this morning. You don't have to go to hell and be lost for eternity. Young man, maybe there was a time when you did live right, young lady, but now you've got away from God and your life is just being a waste. Why don't you get right with God this morning? Young lady, why don't you quit messing around? Get your life right with God this morning. How about you, sir? Huh? You say, Brother Daniel, I'm going to walk down there this morning and I'm going to get right. I'm ready. Okay, that's what you need to do. There'll be somebody here. Everybody in this room is going to heaven or hell. Are you absolutely sure where you'd go if you died today? If you're not, we're going to give an invitation. Let me encourage you to just walk down here. Get down on your knees. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Heavenly Father, do what I've done right now. Save lost souls. Change hearts. Touch people's lives as only you can do. We'll give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.